See, Baba's photo here. Baba's photo here. Ah. There. Just doing like this.
Yeah.
This reminds me. My father used to visit Baba every now and then. And Baba was always do like this to him. Then every time he would go and ask Baba about his business. Will I be successful in this business? Will I get good job? Will I prosper this way, that way? What is the way out and all these things? And Baba would say nothing. And every time he would go, he would just do like this to my daddy, my father. So every time my father would come home and grumble with my mother, saying, what does Baba mean by doing this? Does he mean absolutely zero or very good? I don't understand. Every time I go there, he's just doing like this to me. Nothing happens. What does he mean by doing this? This is exceedingly... I remember when I see his photo. Yeah.
So what?
I have kept on photo.
So what did your mother say?
What can she say? Baba is in this way. He's giving a cunning reply. Whether to say yes, good or bad, you see, you have to interpret yourself. In olden times, you know, just like there were kings, and when the queen were about to give birth to a child, they would call a Joshi, astrologer, and ask them whether it will be a boy or a girl. So the astrologer would always say, ladka na ladki.
Neither boy nor girl.
Ladka na ladki. That's why ladki, ladka na ladki. Ladka na ladki. Let me see, ladki na ladka. In this way, Baba was saying, in that manner. Meaning both the ways.
What is that?
I'm not sure which Meno meant, but you know, we've got a little boy and his mom here. We've got a brother and a sister.
She wants me to tell
the Huma story.
Huma story.
Yeah. But I don't. That's a long story. Maybe we should do that on Saturday or something. Huma's trek, you know, Huma took a long journey through the Appalachians, but I think you should tell that maybe when all the women come and everything, because they, so everyone can hear that at once, unless you want to hear it now.
When do the women come?
Well, I mean, like on Sunday morning or Saturday, whatever. Because it's just her, it's about her trek.
Yeah,
right? It's not totally a bubble, with people leaving.
Yeah.
But Erich, so because we were talking about it, do you want to share that about congenital felicity, about families? Or would you rather
say? I don't know, I have nothing to say.
Well, if you have nothing to say, I have nothing to say.
Just like Jackie Rani said, do this or do that.
Well, then I have nothing to say either.
Come on, see, what is it? Come on.
No, because we were talking about that it might be fun because of the children and the family.
I love to hear such stories, What did he say?
This
what did
is
the
a
mother
story,
say?
But this is a story that you have to help me with.
Congenital felicity.
Yes.
You know what is congenital felicity?
No.
Felicity, you know. No. Happiness. Congenital means family.
Born.
From birth.
So this is a story that a perfect master tells. A perfect master is one who has realized God. And this perfect master would have people ask him all the time, what is the greatest blessing? How can we get closer to God? You know, there would be people who would come to him. So one day somebody said, what is the greatest blessing? And he answered with this phrase, congenital felicity.
Is the greatest blessing.
Is the greatest blessing. And in the context he was telling it, it meant to be born into a family that has felicity with God, that loves God. That's the greatest blessing that one can have. So there was somebody in the audience, you know,
like
in the group,
like
Keki here, who wasn't going to take that sitting down. He wasn't just going to go, yeah, yeah, that's great. He says, but wait a second here. You say that's the greatest blessing, but what happens if we weren't born into a family where we have this, where our parents are such great lovers of God? Then what? So the perfect master said, well, if you're not born into a family that has this, then may God grant you a strong body, because you're going to need strength and strength of purpose to find your way to God.
But tell now, if you don't have a strong body, then what to do?
You can't find God.
Well, if you don't have a strong body, then the perfect master told the people, then may God grant you a hearing ear, ear, because in your life you're going to have to listen well so that you'll be able to find the way to God.
And if you don't have the ear, then what, like a deaf person I am, so?
Then the perfect master also has pity. He says, may God grant you a seeing eye, so that you can perceive the path to God.
So, but if he hasn't the seeing eyes, then like my person, what to do?
Well, he still has mercy on your soul.
What is that?
He says, if you don't have a strong body, if you don't have a hearing ear, if you don't have a seeing eye,
then
may God grant you a knowing heart.
Oh God,
because through
impossible.
Intuition, you're going to have to find your way to God.
I don't have even an unknowing heart. If he doesn't have that, then?
So then this perfect master, whose name was Bayezid, he said, well, if God hasn't given you a strong body, if you don't have a hearing ear, if you don't have a seeing eye, if you don't have a knowing heart, well, brother, you're better off dead. But the reason this is one of my favorite stories is because this perfect master, he, granted, he was perfect, but the way he came to God is so beautiful that that's the story really behind his realization that the greatest gift is congenital felicity. So when he was a little...
That's why he's telling others. Born in that family.
This man and this great master had seen, they say, hundreds, in his quest, he had seen hundreds of masters to find his way to God.
Because his mother was that.
Because his mother was that. But the story goes like this, that he was a little boy about the same age as Prahlad. Prahlad, how old are you?
10, 11.
Oh, you're even older than the little boy in this story. He was a little younger than you. And in those days, they didn't have schools like kids go to now. When you went to school, you learned the Quran. So all your lessons were from learning the stories in the Quran, the surahs in the Quran. So one day, this 8-year-old little boy, he's in school and the teacher puts a surah, like a couplet or a psalm, on the board, and they're supposed to learn from it. And the little boy raises his hand, and the couplet essentially says that you cannot be master of two houses. There's either God or the world. So he raises his hand, and the teacher says, yes. He says, I have something very serious. I need to go home. So he goes back home, and his mother opens the door. She says, son, why are you back so soon? He says, I have come to an impasse. Now, this is like a little 8-year-old boy. I have come to a crossroads in my life. Tell me, mother, either I serve God or I serve you. I cannot serve both. So the mother says, my son, of course you should serve God. So that little boy kissed his mother goodbye and said, then I shall serve God. And as a little boy, he left home to find his way to God. And that's why at 8 or 9 years old, he traveled all over the Middle East trying to find a real master who would help him find God. So one day he finds himself in the court of a master, and he stays there, and he's listening to the stories, a year goes by, another year goes by, 5 years go by, a decade goes by, 12 years go by, and he's just in the corner of the group. So he's not, you know, he doesn't want to really be noticed, he just wants to hear. And suddenly the master turns to him, and now he's a young man, time's gone by, teenager, and he says, the window, the book, where, master, what, where? And he says, can't you see the windows on the books on the windowsill? And he puts his hands together and he says, master, since I have come here, I only have eyes for you. And then the master says, then you are right. He says, now, go.
You are right and you are right.
You are right and you are right. So he says, now go from here. Your time has come. If you wish to find God, you go back. So now he goes all the way back home to his mother. Now years have gone by and his mother is old. And as he goes back, you know, they live in a little tiny house. These are the days when there's no indoor plumbing, there's no water taps. It's winter in Iran. And he knocks on the door, and as he knocks, he hears his mother crying in the house. She's praying and crying. And he knocks louder, and his mother says, who is it? She said, and he says, it's your son, Topher. That
tofu,
was her nickname.
Tofu.
That was her nickname for him.
Not the tofu that you cook. Have you tasted tofu?
Yes.
It's very delicious, no?
Yes, yummy.
So she opens the door, and her son's there, and of course tears start streaming out of her eyes, and she hugs him, and, you've come home. And he tells her the story. Yes, my master has sent me home. So now his mother's old, it's night, it's freezing. She crawls into her little bed and she says, son, please, I need some water. Now it's winter, and as I said, there's no taps. That meant that he has to take a little jug, walk in the cold, freezing weather to the little stream nearby, carry it back to give to his mother who's huddled in bed and cold. So he does this, but when he gets back, his mother has fallen asleep. So he holds the little jug of water in his hand so it won't freeze and become icy, so that when his mother wakes up, he can give her a sip of water. Hours goes by, his mother wakes up, he gives her the water, and then she says, son, do not let the door fly open, and do not let the door close shut. Just keep it ajar so that there's a little air that comes through. So it is said that Bayezid sat by his mother's side all night long with his eye on the door so that it would neither fly open nor slam shut. His devotion was such. And at the stroke of 5 in the morning, through that door, which was ajar, came the manifestation of God. And that's the moment he became enlightened. And that is why he, as a perfect master, would say two things. The first, that the greatest gift is congenital felicity, because it was through my mother, truly, that I found God. And the second thing he would say was that I found that there were 4 mistakes I committed in my life. But when I came to the end, I discovered this. I at first, in my search for God, tried to seek God, tried to know God, tried to find God, and tried to love God. But when I came to the end of the journey, I found that he had sought me long before I had ever sought him. He had known me long before I ever strove to know him. He had found me long before my search ever began to find him, and he had loved me long before I had ever loved him. So that's the story of the perfect master, Bayezid. So Prahlad, you're very lucky. You have the greatest blessing. And Karina and her brother and Amanda, to be born into a family where there's felicity of God.